chapter 2, the book of Mark, chapter 2. I've got a question for you to think about this morning. During the message, I wonder how many of us this morning has a vision for the church. Now, I want you to think about that very, very closely, because anytime you start having visions, a vision begins with prayer. And I thought about that all week long as I was laid up on the couch with my foot about 4 foot in the air. Some of you have gout, you know what I'm talking about. The higher you can get it, the better off you are, amen? But as I was laying there, I thought, you know, I wonder how many members of Mount Carmel has a vision for the church. I wonder how many of us just come and occupy a seat at one time a week or two times a week, and then we go about our merry way. Well, the Lord started dealing with me on that subject, and I thought, man, you know, we try everything we can humanly, right? Humanly. But as a man once said, if we ever get out of the way and let God, then you can see things happen. Because a lot of times where we mess up is we try to make God what we want Him instead of letting God be who God should be. Does that make sense to you? And so I thought on this subject this morning, how to build a church. How to build a church. Mark chapter 2 and verse 1, I want you to look with me in this verse. And when I was thinking about that, I got my Bible out and I seen this one little phrase in this verse. Look with me at chapter 2 and verse 1. And again he entered. Well, how many know that in order to build a church, God's got to enter? Watch the rest of the verse. He entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that. Tell me the last four words. Ooh-wee. If you ever going to build a church, number one, Jesus has got to be in the house. There is churches across America today. And I want you to hear me. I'm not throwing stones. I'm not poking fun. I'm not pointing fingers. But there's churches across America today that Jesus hadn't darkened the doors in many years, and they have no clue that He's not even there. I'm here to tell you this morning, church, if we ever gonna build Mount Carmel Baptist Church, we've got to welcome the Master into the church. There's no way you can build a church without Jesus being in the house. First of all, let's turn with me, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 3. There's several verses there I want to read because in order to build a church, first of all, Jesus has got to be there. Everybody agree with me? Raise your hand on that. You know, you can't build a church and please God without Him being there, right? Well, there's other things that I want you to grab a hold of. Look with me at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14. The Bible says, "For this cause I bow my knee unto the Father, our Lord Jesus, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." Now watch this. "That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened," watch this, "strengthened with his might by his what? Spirit. In the inner man. Look at the next verse. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, right? It's what the Bible says. That ye being rooted and grounded in love. How many churches are truly rooted and grounded in the love of God this morning? Now, you say, well, preacher, how does the church get rooted and grounded in the love of God? First of all, Jesus has got to be in the house. Second of all, the Spirit of God has to be working in the church. The Spirit has to be working in the church. You say, where does the Spirit work, preacher? The Bible says that the Spirit has to start working on the inner man. Is that not what we just read? And so many times during the week, we let the old devil, that old serpent, take control where the Spirit is, and we end up getting out of sync with God. And then we bring the out of sync, I'm going to use a word here that probably ain't even in the dictionary, out of syncness. Is that all right? Can I use that word? It's probably not in your dictionary, so don't go home and look it up. But the devil causes us to get out of sync with the Spirit because all the things that the devil does, just like we learned in our Sunday school lesson this morning, how he beguiled Eve, right? You see, it's the same today in the church house. If we let Satan in the house, Jesus is not going to be there. And so many times we bring those things and we wonder, why ain't our church growing? Why ain't our church going forward? And we're just sitting here at a stalemate. Well, you know what? Old stagnated stump water begins to start stinking because it ain't moving, amen? It's just sitting in one spot, and all the old slime and all kind of things, bacteria starts growing and it starts stinking because it's not moving. You go to a stream that's moving constantly and fresh water is moving, you won't smell those things. I'm here to tell you this morning, the devil is not welcome in a church that is moving forward for the Lord Jesus Christ. And we sit so many times with our hands in our laps and our arms crossed and our Bibles closed, my friend. And we wonder, why ain't the church going forward? I'll tell you why. It's because we're not letting the Spirit live on the inner man. The devil has subdued a lot of Christians today. I know that's strong, but you know what? It's the truth. It's the truth. The devil, I've seen good Christian people, I'm talking about good Christian church members, fall out of touch with God. How many's ever saw that? And all that is the devil being a divider between man and God. And we get that all the time. But if you ever want to build a church, you're going to have to let Jesus back in the house. And number two, you're going to have to let the Spirit of God dwell on the inner man. Not only. If you have those two things, what will happen? Look with me at 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. Now, the second word is the word I really want to harp on here. And I want us to go forward with this word. It says, but what? It don't say sit there and be in a stalemate, does it? It says grow. And I like to, you know, there's a guy on 205. I know some of y'all's got gardens and you got the stuff planted, but he's out there about every day hoeing in his garden. I mean, you about have to, or the grass take over. But he's got sprinklers set up on poles that one of them whirly jigs that goes around and about hit the whole garden. You know what I'm talking about. Not one of these type here. But I'm talking about one on a pole up high where it'll reach out. And as we watched him plant the garden, then we come by and we watch the garden grow, right? Once the garden starts getting water, which is the Holy Spirit, and then you add a little fertilizer, you start seeing it grow. What happens after that seed starts growing? It starts producing. Is that not right? How many know that the church, it's good that it grows, but it's also not only got to grow, but it's got to start producing. And we need to grab a hold of that this morning. But grow in what? God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace. That's what that word means. And in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be what? Both. And forever. So if you want to see God's house grow, first of all, you got to let Jesus in. Amen? Not only do you have to let Jesus in, but you have to let the Holy Spirit in. And the Holy Spirit starts working. And once you get Jesus in the house, the Holy Spirit in the house, then you're going to start growing in grace and in knowledge. And once you start growing in grace and in knowledge, you're going to start glorifying His name. You see how that all works together? But without one ingredient, it's not going to work. I've watched many times Grandma make biscuits. Somebody said a while ago, we was talking about needing rain. I said, well, you know, I'd like for them to get all the wheat up because the germ is starting to set in the wheat if it gets too much more water, and they're going to lose it. And then the price of bread, out the roof. That's the way America is. I mean, they see that one little crack, boy, they're going to stick their foot in it and charge you double, amen? Like the gas prices, am I right or wrong? Boy, they have a little pinhole leak out in the Atlantic or the Pacific and a little bit of oil gets out of there, the gas price is going to jump $1 a gallon just cause a little pinhole leak. Well, that's the same way, you know, with making bread. I thought about that. You know, if you making bread and you rolling that dough out, I've watched Grandma do it many times. If you leave out one little thing, it's not going to be good bread. How many know what I'm talking about? How many, I know some of you might not know this term, but I was raised on this term, lard. Grandma used to take that old lard, she'd get it in about that much, and she'd rub in pans. How many remember what I'm talking about? I think that was the flavor. I think that lard, old pig fat, just all it was melted down and it cooled down and made lard. Huh? Yeah. But she'd take that little bit. She wouldn't take a little napkin in. Nah, she'd get her hand down up in that lard and she'd just coat that pan real good. And then she'd roll out them biscuits. And I remember her patting them between her hands. She'd dust her hands with flour so it wouldn't stick. And she'd put them bits. How many's getting hungry? Woo-wee. Johnny said, I'll take two. But then she'd put them in the oven and you could sit there and watch that old stuff come up out of there. And by the time they come out of there, I'd slice one open and put me some king syrup on there. How many remember what king syrup is? Woo-wee. Somebody go ahead and call ahead and get us some food ready. But I remember sitting there waiting on them biscuits to come out, and Grandma said, oh Lord, I forgot such and such. Them biscuits ain't gonna be no good. And sure enough, they'd like hard as a rock. missing one ingredient. How many know that's like the church? If you're missing one ingredient, it won't rise, it won't grow, especially if you leave God outside or the Holy Spirit outside. It's not going to be pleasing unto God. We need to grab a hold of this. It takes all the ingredients to make something good. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, 2 Peter. Now watch. If you've got Jesus in the house and the Spirit, let's read this verse again. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him both glory both now and forever. Tell me the last word. Amen. You know what that word means? I agree. Amen. I agree with what the Bible has to say. But grow in grace. It didn't say decrease. It said grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. How to build a church? First of all, you got to let Jesus in. Second of all, you got to allow the Holy Spirit to take control. And you know, I hadn't been in the ministry but since 96. You say, preacher, that was before I was born. I see about one or two that said that. Rest of y'all was 20 years old at 96. Don't tell me I done looked. I know how old you are. But since 96, I've watched churches over the years. And Brother Johnny, you can probably say the same thing. You'll watch them come up here, and you'll watch them go down here. You'll watch them come up here, and you'll watch them go down there. Well, what happens is, we allow the devil to take our sails out from under us. We allow the devil to take our happiness away. We allow the devil to take our joy away. But if you allow the Spirit of God to take control, then you're going to have church. I hate coming to a building and not having church. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, not being a preacher out there, y'all don't understand what I'm about to tell you. But being a lay person close to God, you can tell when there's a hindering spirit in the church. How many's ever felt a hindering spirit in a church? That's the hardest time to preach, ain't it, brother? Boy, I'm telling you, it is hard to preach when there's a hindering spirit in the church. But you know, it's because the only way a hindering spirit gets in is because we as Christians allow the Holy Spirit or the hindering spirit in. But how many know we can pray it right back out the door and you can have church? So I say, number one, how to build a church? Jesus has got to be here. Number two, the Word of God has to be preached in order for a church to grow. There's so many preachers ear tickling nowadays, worried about who they're going to make mad, worried who's going to be sad when they leave. Well, can I say something to you? You got one standing in front of you right now that don't care who the Bible makes mad. I don't care if you get mad at the Bible. Because if you preach in the Bible and you get mad, you're mad at the Bible. Is that not right? So in order for a church to grow, you got to preach the infallible Word of God the way it's written down. There's too much opinionated going on in the pulpits across America. There's too much theology going on nowadays. Instead of taking the Word of God for what it is and living by the Word of God for what it is, we try to change the Bible to suit our lifestyle. Can I say something to you? Hey, what God said is settled in heaven, and it don't matter what you think. We need to grab a hold of that today. We need to preach just what the Bible says. If it says it's sin, bless God, it's sin. If it's pleasing unto God, it's pleasing unto God. Amen? And we need to preach that. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Acts chapter 6 and verse 7. That's why I'm giving you so many scriptures this morning, because if the Bible said it, that settles it, and there ain't no sense in getting mad about it. Amen? And the Word of God, not decreased, increased. And the number of the disciples, that tells me something's growing. Anytime it's multiplying, it's growing. Amen? In Jerusalem, and greatly, and the great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. I wonder how many this morning that we could raise our hand and say, I've been obedient to the faith this week. You know what? When you bring disobedience into the church, it's not going to grow. When you bring obedience into the house of God, you're going to see things happen. Amen? So many times we wonder, well, why ain't our church growing? Well, first of all, Jesus might not be there. The Holy Spirit might not be there, and there might be disobedience there. But if you see your church growing and going forward for the glory of God, Jesus is there, the Spirit's there, and you have obedience in the Christian's heart in the house of God. You'll see things change. Not only is the Word of God has to be preached. Number two, it's the only thing that will change the heart of man. Opinion will not change the heart of man. Webster won't change the heart of man. There's only one thing that will change the heart of man, and that's the Word of God. The infallible Word of God. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen? It's not what somebody just all of a sudden dreamt up, made up, but all Scripture from Genesis 1 to Revelation 22 is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. Until man started putting their dirty paws on it. Huh? We started taking the word Jesus out of the Bible, blood out of the Bible, and all of the death, burial, and resurrection out of the Bible. My friend, listen to me this morning. Without the death, burial, and resurrection, you wouldn't have the gospel. Because that's where the gospel come from, the death, burial, and resurrection. We wouldn't have those things. But when a lost man picks up some book and finds he in there, they gonna wonder, who in the world is he? Can I tell you this morning, he is Jesus Christ. And we need to preach Christ who's crucified. Ain't that what Paul said? Preaching to those that don't know Jesus, Paul said, is foolish in their ears. But can I say something to you? You need to preach the Word of God wherever you go. You don't have to stand up here behind the sacred desk and preach the Word of God in order to take the Word of God out and preach it to somebody. Did you know that? Anybody can do that. Take the Word of God and get it out of here. Get it on the streets and let people know you're proud of whom you serve. That's how you build a church. You know, I'm going to brag just a minute. There's been I don't know how many people told me that this man sitting right here, Tommy Godwin, he tells me about your church and your preaching every time I see him. I'm telling you. That's what it takes. That's what it takes to get people in to the house of God. We stay clammed up in our shells all week long, and nobody even knows you're a Christian until we open up and tell them what Christ has done for us. That's when the Word of God and the Spirit comes. It's the only thing. The Word of God is the only thing that will change the hearts of a man. And it's the only thing, number two, that will last. How many know that the devil has tried to get the Word of God off the street? He succeeded in getting it out of the schools. Yes, he did. How many remember the Gideons used to bring those little testaments? Y'all remember those days? And we would read, we would pray, and bless God, we'd say the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We would stand up and salute the flag. Now they're kneeling at the national anthem. Can I say something to you this morning? Next time those people kneel down, what somebody ought to do is get on the PA and tell them, since you're already kneeling, let's go ahead and have a word of prayer. That'd fix that, wouldn't it? They'd say, what in the world? Well, you're already on your knee. Let's go ahead and pray. That's where this world is. And you know why? It's because the devil's tried to take the Word of God off the streets. But how many know the Word of God tells me that it don't matter who throws what at it, even the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. It's going to stand regardless. With or without you and I, the Word of God will stand firm. Amen. We need to grab a hold of that. It's the only thing that will last. So number one, how to build a church. Jesus has got to be in the house. The Holy Spirit has to be there. The Word of God has to be preached. Listen to this one. Number three, number four, wherever I'm at. A congregation has to be unified. How many remember the day of Pentecost? Y'all remember that? I was thinking about the day of Pentecost when I wrote this one down. Because there was people from different countries. You see, a lot of people took this scripture out of context and say speaking in tongues is okay because of Acts. That's not what the book of Acts is talking about here. When you take Mexico, you take Brazil, you take the United States of America, you take France, Spain, I mean, you could go on and on and on and name different countries around the world. And they all come to one place, all right? And I stand up and preach. And those that don't understand English, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was so real in that place as the disciples were standing up preaching in, I'm going to just say, America, English, all right? I'm going to just use that. Each country heard it in their own language. Can you imagine being there and hearing somebody sitting there preaching in Spanish and you're hearing it literally in English? I can't imagine that. I can't. I've tried to grasp that. Only reason that happened is because there was no hatred. There was nothing but love in that place. And the Bible says that they all come together in one mind and one accord. Is that not right? And that's the only way. And the Bible says that the Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind. My. Can you imagine that? What would happen If the people of Mount Carmel would come to church just one time with one mind and one accord, and that was worshiping a risen Savior, what would happen? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. We'd have Holy Ghost revival. That's what would happen. My. Unity. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 25. Now watch what the Bible says here. And Jesus knew their thoughts. Ooh-wee. Boy, we could stop right there and preach on that for about an hour. I know some of you might be sitting there, I wish that preacher would hurry up and sit down. I wish he'd hurry up and shut up so I can go eat. Jesus knows your thoughts. Amen. Preacher don't have to. Jesus already does. Huh? My foot ain't hurting this morning. I thought I'd preached about 1 o'clock. That'd be all right. Jesus knew their thoughts. Now that's the Bible. Y'all see it? And said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. And every city and house divided against itself shall not stand. I see churches, y'all. I'm sure y'all do too. I have to move a lot, you know, moving equipment. I see church doors shut all across this area. You say, that's just because they didn't have no preacher. How about they didn't have no spirit? What did Jesus just say? I'm here to tell you this morning, if you ever lose the Spirit of God in your church, the doors will shut. When Jesus is not welcome into your church, the doors will shut. But if Jesus is welcome in where He's got an abode or a dwelling place in your heart and in your church, you'll see the church grow. You'll see the church go forward for the glory of God. But it's ever divided. When people, you know, more sin is created in the mind than in the body. Did you know that? I heard a preacher say one time, or not a preacher, but a man say, well, if you think it, you might as well go ahead and do it. How many's ever heard that statement? Well, that's a lie straight out of hell. Because not only did you commit one sin by thinking it, then you committed another one by doing it. Huh? Right or wrong? Did the first part of that verse say Jesus knows your thoughts? Sure it did. And your thoughts without doing the act is a desolation or a dividing point between you and God. There's a lot of Christians divided right now. Folks, I want us to join together this morning. Every Wednesday night we join around this altar. I mean, before the Bible is ever opened, and we pray around this altar. Those that can't, bow, sit on the front pews or the second pews. Thank God the last few Wednesday nights we've had it full. Amen. Praise God for that. But you know what? Prayer can change things if we just grab a hold of that thought. Last of all, the only thing that will last is the Word of God. And then the number three, how to build a church, you got to have a unified congregation. Last one and I'm done. Not only do you have to have a unified congregation, but you got to have a faithful congregation. A faithful congregation. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6 is one of the greatest verses in your Bible. I know I skipped a few things, but just for time's sake, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6. Boy, that's a great verse, isn't it? But without faith. I told you some of y'all would know that verse. It is impossible to please God. For he that cometh to God must believe he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. My. You want to see the church grow? Be faithful to the church. I want you to know Monday night out here at our WMU, that was the biggest crowd we've had since I've been the pastor here. Biggest crowd since I've been the pastor here. How many were? 36, 38? 29? I thought it was in the 30, odd number. I can't remember, but anyhow. Let me tell you something. Be faithful and God will bless. You say, what does that mean, preacher? Being faithful is every time the doors are open, be here. Now, if you're providentially hindered working, God knows that. If you're sick or hurt, God knows that. And He will bless that. But out of pure laziness, God don't bless that. Be faithful to the house of God. You want to see this church grow? You want to see this church go forward? And the Lord is blessing this church. And I don't want Him to stop. I don't want Him to stop. I want Him to keep blessing. Amen. I know we've got a few out sick this morning we need to pray for. I know there's some out of town that I know that was going to be out of town. We need to pray for traveling mercies and grace. But can I say something to you? The Lord's got His hand on us, and I don't want that to come off. You want to see this church grow this morning? You want to see this church go forward? You want to see God continue to bless this church? It's very simple. Allow Him to be here when you're here. Allow the Spirit of God to be here. Allow unity in the church and allow faithfulness in the church. Folks, I'm here to tell you, if those four things are in the ingredients, that old biscuit's going to be pretty good come Sunday morning. Huh? Every head bowed and every eye closed. Miss Sandra, if you'd come. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord, thank You for what You've done for us here at Mount Carmel. Thank You for how You've blessed here. But Lord, I want more blessings. I want more growth. I want more going forward. I don't want to sit and get stale on You. I don't want to be complacent about where it's at right now. I want to continue to see it move. But Lord, there's four ingredients that it's going to take. First and above all, Lord, if there's one lost here this morning, dear God, I pray that You'd save that lost soul. That's above all. Save that lost soul. Don't let them leave this church lost and undone without You. But then, Lord, if I pray that You would burden our hearts to see more people saved, more backsliders proclaimed, and God, more people come to join this church. Lord, I pray that we'd have that burden this morning. And whatsoever is accomplished, we'll give You the praise, honor, and glory for it all. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed,